Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1 FM. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Now remember, that is on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, or computers, or maybe whatever else, you know, is new out there. If you would like to connect with the program, please call 740-383-9944. This is Tuesday, the 138th day in the year of 2021. 277 days remain. So there is still time to build that new deck that you have promised yourself. Remember, you deserve it, and the weather is nice, so you better take advantage of it now. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, every third Saturday of every month. The next one takes place June the 19th, starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m., Please take advantage of this opportunity or give someone else a chance to take advantage of this opportunity. Free produce. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, which are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And I would like to say thank you to those who do supports A Voice of a People, and they have supported this show 6 years, and I thank God for them, for their support, and they are a continuous support. And those of you who listen faithfully, those of you who may be new today listening, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. A Voice of a People needs you. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Understanding Misunderstandings. Most people don't understand themselves. Most people or others. We need to make time for this. We get too impatient very often because we are not willing to take this time. Misunderstanding continue. We don't take time to listen to someone quietly and try to understand them. Then we start inventing things about them because we simply haven't taken the time to understand. How on point is that? When you're busy and things are on your mind and someone is asking you to do something and you half-heartedly do it because you half-heartedly even heard them ask you a specific thing. Now, this happened to me Sunday. My daughter and I were celebrating Mother's Day, belated Mother's Day. We went out to eat. I had a $25 gift certificate. She had a $25 gift certificate. Our meals came to $32 each. That's without tax. So we gave the waitress both cards. Not only that, she told her to ring it up separately and she would pay the difference. Well, she gave her all three cards, even her debit card. So when she came back, she said that we still owed $40. And she said, Mom, look at your receipt and see if everything's okay. So I was beginning to look at my receipt, but then I heard her say, I'm going to give a $10 tip and that'll be $25. So I stopped looking at the receipt. And lo and behold, That's not what she was even saying, and nor did I even look at the receipt to make sure that the $25 was taken off mine, right? So she ended up giving, not really calling the waitress back to the table, and $40 was just taken. I don't know what you call it, but it was taken, okay? So let us take time to listen to people and follow through what they have asked us to do. Today, my guest will be Whitney Gurman. She will be calling in. So that should be any minute now. Whitney Gurman also is affiliated with Ohio State University of Marion, and I think she is a resident of Delaware, Ohio. I will let her somewhat introduce herself. She should be calling any minute, like I said. But let us listen to one another so we can know exactly where we are, where they, you know, and be accountable for the things that they are asking us to do and be able to say, well, I did do that, and this is the result of me doing that. She said, Mom, you never listen to me. When I ask you to do something, you never listen. And I'm thinking, wow, am I that bad at listening? And maybe I'm not by myself. You know, we could miss a lot by not paying attention. I think that's Whitney. Hello, Whitney.
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you hear any static or anything?
No, I don't.
Okay, great. Great, great, great. So, it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Oh my God, it has. It's been a while.
Maybe last year?
Yeah, probably. Man, I feel like the last time we talked, there was protesting and stuff going on.
Oh wow, that has been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah. Looks like your show's been busy.
It has. It has, and it's like trying to get people back in, you know, that my regulars, I consider you one of my regulars, and Johnny,
yeah.
And, you know, the crew. I haven't got him in this year, I don't think. But I'm trying.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's on your agenda today?
I think I'm going to talk about Marion Dreamkeepers, because we're getting ready to start in June, and there's been some buzz in the community, people wanting to know what it's about.
Marion Dreamkeepers.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to hear what it's about.
Thanks.
How's your daughter doing?
She's good. She has this week and next week before she goes on summer break, and she's ready. I don't know that mom's ready, but she's ready.
Oh, wow. I bet. Because school year from 2020 to 2021 was kind of sketchy, wasn't it?
It was really hard. And Delaware never went back full time.
They didn't?
No. So it was a lot of all hands on deck.
Wow.
Yeah. But we did it. We made it through a hard season, but I think safe to say that she'll be going back in the fall.
Right. Now, before you tell us about the Marion Dreamkeepers, introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
I just gave them your name, Whitney Gurman.
Okay. That's easy enough.
You wear so many hats, so I did say that you were affiliated with Ohio State University of Marion. Is that still true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been doing some stuff on my own, but for the most part, I'm here. Just some things I want to be a little more creative with, and you know, kind of know how that is. Like, I don't want to give everything to Ohio State. Some things that you keep for me.
Right, absolutely. And we should. I don't think that's being selfish. You?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need that. So, are you still doing the intergroup dialogue facilitator? Are you still in that position?
Yeah, so what I'm doing is basically I'm specializing in diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is like a really big area, but it kind of leads me into like community dialogues. Marion Dreamkeepers is related to that. I've been doing a lot of internal trainings too, just with our staff.
Okay.
To get them on board.
Well, Marian Dream Keepers, I'm excited to hear about it.
I know. It's with young people. Well, yeah. Don't you have someone that was interested in Marian Dream Keepers? You came to the community presentation we had.
Yeah, my grandson.
Who's your grandson?
Jeremiah Netter. He's a student at Harding High School.
Well, I don't have him on my list. I might have to.
And Johnny said he was going to get a hold of him. Remember, he was on that meeting, too. So I don't know, Johnny.
Yeah.
I don't know if he followed through or not. Maybe he did.
You know, Johnny's got the big ideas, and sometimes I'm like the detail person who's like, okay, we got to get organized. Who do we have? What forms do they need to fill out? So I'll get with Johnny and say, hey, why don't you talk to Jeremiah and see if he's still interested.
Because he was very much interested, yeah.
Okay. I wrote his name down.
Yep, Jeremiah Netter.
I think we initially were only going to be able to have 10 spots, but they haven't made a firm decision, but it sounds like United Way might be willing to fund the other 5 young people because they get paid. So we could only fund 10, but I think we're going to get some more funding to add some more kids on board.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what would these people be doing? And why are they being called the Marian Dream Keeper?
Oh, that's a good question. The Marian, like, Dream Keepers comes from a book by Gloria Lansdowne Billings, and she talks about teaching African-American youth, and so we really liked her writings and the inspiration of keeping our dreams and dreaming together. And so they are documenting their experiences through photography and art and music and however they see about where do they experience justice and injustice in the community. So there's so many details. I think it'll be exciting to share with listeners today of, like, what the big idea, how it got started. A lot of people have asked, like, how did you get into this? And then kind of walk through what are they exploring, what are they actually doing? And then ways that people can even support and get involved.
Okay, so is this a project just for our area or other areas in the state?
Yeah, it's just for Marian. We were one of 10 projects that got funded by Ohio State. They gave out $1 million and gave $50,000 to 10 communities. And so we were one of 10. And it's really impressive because a lot of the people that got funded, you know, they have PhDs and fancy titles, and I was just really proud of our group for coming together and showing up to the competition and winning.
Right. Good for us, huh?
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of interesting things here in Marian the past couple years with Marian Voices and some other things that are going on in our community, and we had the protest, and that was different for Marian that I can ever remember. It was different. So I'm just really surprised, but not only surprised, I'm glad that these things are taking place for our community, and it is a plus for us.
Yeah.
To work together.
Yeah, it's nice. Everyone seems to have, like, found their niche and how they want to show up, and it can be really reinforcing, you know, knowing who's doing what with the young people, who's doing stuff in the schools, who's doing stuff with food, you know, all over as much as we can.
That's true. Now, did you tell me what these young people would be doing?
So they'll be taking pictures, essentially, of where in the community they experience justice and injustice. And we're defining, like, justice as, like, where do you feel like you belong? Where do you feel like you're reflected or represented in? What places do you trust? And then where are the sites where you feel injustice, which is the sites where you might feel othered or left out or excluded?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's real interesting. And now, who will they present these photographs to?
So there's going to be a big event, Equity Day, on July 27th. I confirm that. Where we're going to speak to the schools, the community at large. Everyone's going to be invited and be able to listen to their recommendations and the changes that they want to make. They're going to stay together as a cohort, and we're really going to help support them in evaluating and delivering their results that they anticipate.
Now, that's interesting. That really is. And different,
yeah.
That they, you know, as they travel and go about the city and going back and forth to school and going back and forth to their part-time jobs and, you know, trying to step into the adult world and where they feel like they've been unjustified in places where they've been justified and felt good about the atmosphere and their surroundings. That's really interesting.
Yeah, we know so much of that matters now is that representation and reflection. And so that's what we're really trying to influence and at the same time get the community ready, increase their skill set and understanding by these young people and their lived experiences.
Well, so with them doing this, is there hopes that the places where they felt injustice, maybe someone would talk to them and hopefully that would change? Is that the expectation?
Yeah, we're really hoping. So we're going to do an evaluation of the community and look at how ready are we to do racial justice work together as a community. And what are our limitations? And then as we kind of prepare the community to receive these recommendations, where can we start? You know, where do we have the most assets and opportunities to really begin reshaping some of these policies, practices, and these environments that may be really well intended, right, but felt really differently from youth of color's point of view.
Okay. So you already have, what, at least 10? Already?
Yep. Okay. We have 10 signed up. They just received their iPads and equipment today. You know, they are researchers in this, so they're getting paid for their time, mm-hmm. kind of like a summer job for them. And then they receive mentorship through the scholars and community activists that are in our cohort. So we have Dr. Doyle from University of South Carolina. Obviously, you know, myself and Johnny Jackson is at Marion City Schools. Jess Lamar Reese Hollers with Marion Voices. Dr. Kaiser is with the Ohio State. Dr. Lunsford is with Tuskegee University. And Dr. Oliverdez, who is local at the Green Leadership Trust and the work he's doing around environmental justice. So all have these opportunities to meet mentors and kind of see how does this organizing work in real life.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you're off and running, huh?
Yeah, the program actually starts in June, but we have been working on this for about a year, and so we're finally able to launch.
Well, that's good. That's great. So are you still doing that one study you were doing as far as the racist tension and how it affects white people? You remember you was taking the deep breaths and doing all that kind of stuff. And are you still doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the work I'm doing outside of this this space in Marion is building stamina for white people to turn inward and to, you know, there's a lot of shame that white people hold, or the complicity, the acts of violence, the denial of racism. And so how do we heal and grow up and take accountability? And so a lot of that work is centered on trauma and healing. So I do a lot of workshops on that. You know, sometimes it's an hour and a half, sometimes it's a four-week program. But we're really getting into how this is felt on a visceral level at the body, where this domination lies, and how we can recover and take more effective action for racial justice in our communities, our organizations, our schools, et cetera.
So how is that working out?
So I've gotten a lot of feedback. You know, I think people are really surprised by the fact that so much of our DEI trainings have been memorizing information, learning everything intellectually. And so it really throws people off at first when we shift and we are talking more about what it's felt at the nervous system level. And that can be like something like our heart racing, our sweaty palms. When we shift in that direction, I think people are surprised, but they also relate to it more because it's honest. It's confronting what kind of what we already know, but maybe we don't want to say. And it's effective, I think, because people are seeing it in other areas of their life. With significant others or family members, or just even the stress in the last year with COVID-19, they're learning how to build resiliency and stamina, and then we're learning to apply it in particular ways around equity and justice.
That is so interesting. It just really is. And, you know, I guess I'm just now realizing that there has been shame associated with racism, not just us being affected, but, you know, from white people and how they feel about it. I'm just realizing, or someone else told me, it's the shame that they feel, and I'm like, I never even thought it mattered.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so you have people that, like, may not care, you know, that may be completely apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place for them and an intervention for them. But I think the folks that I'm most interested in speaking to are the folks that are, like, wanting to change and acknowledge, like, they're trying to enter spaces well-intended, but they don't know where to start. You know, a lot of work with Marion Dreamkeepers is kind of framed around these ideas of, like, raising educators. You know, it's not just for young people, but when we look at historically who's been ignoring the perspectives of youth of color, it's been, like, academic and social institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And often, even in nonprofits, they become sites of oppression. Like, there's this assumption that youth of color or people of color need a savior, particularly a white savior, to lift them out of a dangerous community, right? Like, this mm-hmm. is the bias that has been conditioned in us and we've been socialized around. And so how as white educators like myself from, we all know, Ohio State and the land we're on and how it was stolen and the way that the institution was built was through slave labor. And so how can I enter this space of racial justice work with all this history? And it begins by doing my inner work. And it also requires me to situate people of color and young people of color as experts of their own experience, and not that I add to anything that is broken, but young people are already whole. And so these ideas that Johnny really has brought to our team is around culturally sustaining pedagogy. That kind of speaks to this fact that we're enriching strengths and assets mm-hmm. rather than kind of replacing deficits or thinking that white people or educators are somehow the ones with the answers.
Okay, now that study is fascinating. It really is. The whole thing, I think it is. But I kind of look at it like you do. Whatever's necessary, then maybe we can move on, you know, together, bring our community together and our thoughts and hopes together. Because I think, you know, we've lived divided too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can pretend and put on like everything is okay and can be forgiving and act like nothing really happened. And a lot of times, you know, we as black people, we do that. You know, because we don't always want to be confrontational or to be, confronted. But as we live in this world, we still understand that there are some people who just, you know, they refuse to look at us as people. And I hope those people can change in the future, but you don't know. You just hope so, you know. Just hope so.
Yeah, and I think last year was kind of, we've seen a lot since a year ago and things that we didn't think was possible, and seeing what's unfolded. Mary and Dreamkeeper started because there was a call to action after the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery. ISD, I think, began to recognize that we had to do something as well. And so providing these funds to address structural racism or implicit bias or even, like, disparities, and we've seen a lot of that with COVID and who's most affected. It's really been an opportunity for us to respond to that call of action and really collectively leverage, you know, the unique positions that we're all in and the expertise that we can bring. The funny thing I was saying earlier about, like, Jeremiah, you know, if he was on our list or not, is, like, some of us on the team are really detail-oriented, and we have folks on our team that come from education and have a strong background in knowing about youth development. And then there's other parts of our team that are more like big dreamers and big-picture thinkers and come from, you know, Jess, who does work around, like, folk life and oral history. I know you all haven't gotten to meet Dr. Lindsay Lunsford from Tuskegee. She is, like, such a amazing researcher who is really a leader in across multiple universities and kind of seen as this expert around food justice. And she brings a lot to the table. And like I told you earlier, Paco at Green Leadership Trust, he's doing incredible work in Caledonia around environmental justice and how the environment affects how we live and breathe and feel. And it's just really been, we haven't gotten started, but in some ways we have, because we've been meeting for a year. It's been really fun to see all our unique skills and ways that I might be lacking and someone else completes, or vice versa, this mutual ways of being with one another. And it's only going to get better as we expand and as we include young people. And we got to speak to some teachers today that are really excited. We've met with one of the county commissioners who is really supportive of this work. So really, this is starting small, but it's a community project. It really requires all of our buy-in.
Right. I understand that. It should be, you know. We can start little, but I think it's been such a long fight on both fronts. I believe those who have been, you know, with us and supported us, it's still been a long fight, because we're talking about, whoa, 400 years, a long time. Maybe things have changed in some aspects, and they have. We can't say we haven't had any change, because we have. Totally, no, but we've had quite a bit of change. And some people, you can't change. And I understand that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find that readiness, and I think even what you were saying earlier about the work that Marion is doing is what you've really identified is, like, where the readiness is,
mm-hmm.
and going the places where there's an easy yes, you know, because that yes makes way for more possibilities. And also, like, knowing our no's as well. You know, there's been parts of Marion Dreamkeepers that we've had to really discern how we want to do this work together. And sometimes, like, having those boundaries and those commitments and actually make us stronger. Even those disagreements, right? Because we can paint, like, a perfect picture of this is, like, a happy, fun team, which it is, but it's also a struggle, you know? Mm-hmm. Working through conflict is really important that we do that work up front as a team, because inevitably, doing this kind of organizing, we're going to come across challenges. And how are we going to be resilient together?
That's true. Have you ran up against any opposition as far as this project is concerned?
You know, yes. We've heard sometimes people think this is a political project. The misconception is that we have an agenda. But if I think people looked closer at the program, they would see this is based on youth participatory action. So we don't even know what the young people are going to take pictures of. We don't know what the young people are going to recommend. And it's really not up to us to decide. You know, we first started developing this program and we thought we'd introduce the young people to all of our areas of expertise. You know, food justice, environmental justice, healing justice, criminal justice. And then we're like, wait a second, that's not letting the young people lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to restart and rethink and said, okay, this really has to position them as experts. And so we started from scratch. And our program is a lot of like, what do you as young people wonder about? What do you want to learn more about? What do you want to investigate? What is your personal life and experience? How does that relate to the world, society, your community? And so I think that's been our response to the question of this is political. It's really not. It's just letting young people take the lead and seeing where it lands. And just like as adults, we can agree or disagree. I think that's part of the practice is being in the tension mm-hmm. of those challenges. And I really hope that the community comes out to Equity Day and will support them and hear them out, you know, because I think we can have some disagreements, but I think listening to one another is something we'd all benefit more from.
That's true. And that's good. Letting them be leaders, let them learn how to be freedom fighters.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Because yeah. That's what it is, being a freedom fighter, you know, so that we can be free or feel free, at least, you know, wherever we go, whatever we do, because we do know that there are boundaries. Even more so, young people realized after the George Floyd and how that was just shown over the TV over and over and over and over. And I know without a shadow of doubt, a lot of our youth had put on that spirit of fear, terrified, just terrified.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and for them to have an opportunity. Go ahead, Whitney.
No, you're right. Like, it's traumatic.
Yeah. Even for older people, like myself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the glimmer I hope I see in that is, I think her name was Daniela, who filmed George Floyd's death, and I could be wrong on her name. But that camera lens, mm-hmm. you know, changed history. Where would we have been without her testimony, without her eyewitness account? And I think that's what we want to do with Dream Keepers is we want to take pictures. We want to film. We want to create. We want to expose. We want to be vulnerable. And that might be like putting ourselves at risk mm-hmm. because what we expose might not be pretty. But it's real for a lot of people. And I don't think it would be fair for me to say that the young people are the only ones going to put themselves at risk.
Right.
This is mutual. I have put myself at risk of criticism from peers. I am kind of doing things that haven't been done within Ohio State Extension before.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's part of the work is, like, interrogating our community and getting our community to be more accountable and culturally relevant. But it also means for me at the university to go back to my own institution and challenge us.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge us to be more thoughtful, to be more relevant, to be better listeners. And really the whole work of Dream Keepers is to envision intellectually rigorous and culturally relevant classrooms, not just to improve the lives of African Americans, but racial justice benefits all of us.
Yes.
It helps all children, all adults, all families.
Wow. I had no control over that horn.
Oh, that's okay.
Outside the building, you know, I like, wow, kind of startled me, but... Yeah, we moved. We're not located in Ohio Health Building anymore. We're on...
Where are you at?
523 South Prospect Street.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're in our own building now.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a house, but still.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
It is nice.
I mean, you don't have the stairs.
No, just getting up here. I think it's like 5 or 6 steps, but that's it.
Oh.
Yeah, and you walk right into our little living room where we're set up, you know. It's kind of cozy.
Yeah. No, it sounds really good.
Yeah, kind of cozy.
I appreciate your listeners. Like, you know, if people have questions about the program, to be honest with you, when we first started, I thought I was just talking to you. I didn't even know I was on the air.
Yes,
but,
you are.
You know, what'd you say?
Yes, you are, live.
I know now, but at first I didn't know I was.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, if listeners have questions, I mean, you're getting my authentic self, because as we started at first, I was just talking to you, Miss Sim. But, you know, we want to hear from people. We want to know the questions people have. We want to also know the community's dreams. You know, this is about dream keeping, and so we're also really interested in what's one dream you have for Marion? And, you know, as a parent, as I was talking about Issa earlier, that's true. Like, we're talking about young people, but those young people are connected to families, grandparents, parents that care. And so we want to be here to support those dreams as well and offer capacity in whatever ways we can, because it truly takes... there's an indigenous teaching that says 7 generations, and it takes 7 generations to make change. Hmm. And I think that's true. Is I can honor my mom and what she brought and offered to me in this space of justice. And then, you know, I instill in Issa, and I hope Issa looks back and interrogates the way I've done things and does better for her future generations, too.
I'm sure she will. It's kind of like that, you know. We just take the torch and keep going.
Yeah.
But the baton.
Absolutely. Relay race.
Just take that baton.
Sometimes
and keep going.
It's a longer race than we like.
Yeah. And it has been.
Yeah.
And, you know, even those of us who fight and have our black entities, you know, in our community, and we continue to go over the same thing, just about the same questions. And it's not the first time they've been presented with these questions or dilemmas. And, yeah, sometimes we get tired, but we just can't give up the fight.
Yeah, that's true. Can't and we got to kind of take care of the people that have been fighting for so long.
Right. Our parents fought, maybe not in the same way that, you know, we've been able to fight, but and then their parents, and on and on and on and on, way back to, what,
1619? Yep.
That's a long right. time.
Yeah, and I think it's important for white folks to identify their white abolitionist traditions. You know, there's folks like Anne Braden who lived, you know, hundreds of years ago, but and her and the Grimke sisters were white people that were fighting for freedom in the era of, you know, the Civil War. And recognizing that tradition is really important because it brings up that piece of representation and knowing that we have a lineage of doing this work. I think white people see ourselves so often as individuals, but we can do so much better when we realize, like, we're not doing anything alone, and not everything is scarce, that there's actually abundance, and there's community and tradition around this work. And I'm always offering space for white folks to reach out and talk about where they get stuck and what fears they have in doing this work.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. So, are you planting seeds in the garden again this year or not?
So, we're excited because I delivered some plants to King's Temple today. So, they will pick those up at this evening when they have service. And we're not doing maize this year. There's unfortunately just some challenges that we've come into. We hope to offer it in the future, but I think the thing we're learning is it's really helpful to just have our own plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard with landlords, you know, sometimes getting hold of them, or we really needed access to water. And so we're just taking the year to kind of recoup. But there's other ways to get involved as well. You know, I mentioned King's Temple and Maze, but I'm also working with Logos Christian Ministries and supporting their produce market, which is a great resource for healthy food. We are providing them local meat this summer.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
The date hasn't been quite announced quite yet, but we're going to have meat that has been raised locally, and it's going to be processed locally and delivered to that food pantry,
okay.
Which will be fun. We've done vegetables and fruits, but this is kind of a new thing. We're excited to see how it goes.
Well, I am too. I'm excited to hear that too. The last 2 months, I've missed the free produce. I was one Saturday. I was in Akron visiting my baby girl for the weekend, and then I missed it just last Saturday, I think it was. I don't even remember what I was doing then, but I missed it. I was at the library.
Oh!
For 3 hours, you know, I totally forgot about it, but I hope to take advantage of it. They used to have some pretty good apples, and I love apples.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing is you can just drive up. There's not any appointment needed. You just sign in, and it's the third Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Logos.
Yeah.
So it's an easy way, you know, especially with kids, to try new things, new fruits and vegetables, stretch your grocery store budget, and then we'll be out there with some local meat. We're going to give some other giveaways this summer, and just helping them out with, like, a canopy, because it's hot out there, and those volunteers are working really hard.
Yes, it is hot.
Making sure they're taking care of themselves.
Yeah, that's a good thought, because just like today, it's warm. I'm so glad, though. I'm not complaining.
No.
And I went walking today, so... It was good. It feels good to be out and not all the rain and all the cold that we've had to put up with. But Whitney, we are out of time. Thank you so very much for being my guest today. You have shared so much information with us, and to know that things are up and running, and we're looking for a good report from the Marianne Dreamkeepers.
Okay, we'll come back with some of the young people.
Yes, do that. Do that. I will be expecting you. So always, you know, contact me if you have something to share.
Okay. We will. Thank you so much for having the fun.
Okay. Thank you. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Now that was Whitney Gurman. She had a lot to share with us, didn't she? Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew, one went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, the nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out, except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins the piece of bologna. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after seven, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. Now I don't think you can beat that dream, I win the bologna. The other one said, I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. No, I don't think you can beat that dream, I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too, it's a dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and I got so lonely. I didn't think she was coming back, so I got up and I ate the bologna.
To legendary stand-up comic Marty Allen.
You know, Marty, one day we'll flip. You can host the show.
Oh, okay.
I think it would work okay. I think you could handle that.
Well, I'd love it. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, we'll do
but
that.
But I'm not changing my name. It's going to be Marty Allen. I can't go on and say, I'm Marty Spears.
Legendary confetti-throwing comedian Rip Taylor.
Well, tell me about the sparkly jackets. Where did they come from?
Cleveland.
Okay.
What? Everything came from the ball and Marion. And Cleveland, everything. Now stop getting me laughing, it's too early.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.